This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Tiki and TNA's Thursday afternoon. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Here in Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, I'm Tiki Barber. BT's still out. He'll be back next week. But I got you for the next 3 hours here. Lots to get to, including Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. We'll do inbounds, out of bounds. Jason Sobel, who is a senior golf writer for the Action Network, will join us in our second hour, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, to talk about the U.S. Open out at Pebble Beach, one of the most beautiful courses in all of golf. And in our last hour at 5:40 Eastern, 2:40 Pacific, Eddie George, former Tennessee Titan running back, Heisman Trophy winner from Ohio State, will join us to talk a few things. He preceded me, actually, as a Broadway star. He did Chicago about 4 or 5 years ago, before I did Kinky Boots, obviously, earlier this year. His number 27, along with Steve McNair's number 9, are going to be retired by the Tennessee Titans. The Tennessee Titans, I had to ask Samson this question. I didn't know off the top of my head. They kept the history of the Houston Oilers, so there's roughly 6 or 7 numbers retired. So this is a pretty huge honor for Eddie, and we'll have him on to chat about that and what it means to him and some of the state of the franchise right now down in Tennessee. We'll start briefly with the NHL Stanley Cup last night. I actually watched a little bit of this game. I don't watch a ton of hockey, but I did watch this game because it was intriguing. It was a great game 7. We had Pierre McGuire on earlier this week. We had Jeremy Roenick on yesterday, and he got me a little bit interested in this game. And I got to tell you, the first period played out like it was, the Bruins were all out attack. It felt like they were on the power play, even though they weren't a man up, but it felt like they were, the way they were attacking the goal early in this game, but they never got through. Jordan Binnington, who is the rookie goalie for the St. Louis Blues, held strong. Then all of a sudden, the momentum just flipped. A goal scored by the Blues, 2 in the first period, and the third one that made it 3-0 kind of put it on ice. And the Blues, congratulations to them. Their first ever championship Stanley Cup trophy, they were able to hoist. Ryan O'Reilly, who was traded from the Buffalo Sabres last July, takes home the Conn Smythe trophy. And interestingly, because he said a year ago, I believe, I was just reading the stories about him, that he had lost kind of his passion for hockey, but it reinvigorated itself with this Blues squad, who were terrible to start the season. They were in last place, literally the worst team in hockey, on January 2nd. They'd fired their coach, Mike Yeo. Then they hired Craig Berube, who is the interim coach. He's still the interim coach. And listen to the post game. They're like, you're not going to be interim for long. And they get their first championship in St. Louis since 2011, when the St. Louis Cardinals won the MLB, the World Series. Prior to that, it was 06 with the Cardinals. And then 2000, you got to go back to football, when the greatest show on turf, the Rams, beat the Tennessee Titans, who, interestingly, had the aforementioned Eddie George as running back and Steve McNair as quarterback. So congratulations to the St. Louis Blues. It's awesome. It was a great game for them last night. Disappointing for the, obviously, Boston Bruins, but they got enough championships. They'll be okay. Let's talk about the big game tonight, though. Game 6 of the NBA playoffs, the Toronto Raptors up 3-2. They are a game away from taking home the first title also for the Toronto, for the city of Toronto and the Toronto Raptors for Canada in the NBA. The Grizzlies were there, obviously, for a couple of years before they became Memphis, but this is the huge, huge opportunity. And it's interesting when I think about this game, because it feels in some ways like a game 7. It's not, but it feels like a game 7 because of what's at stake. Obviously, it's the last game in Oracle Arena. The Golden State Warriors will be moving down the road to San Francisco after the season is over. So the emotion in the arena is going to heavily favor this Golden State Warriors squad. And you can imagine what it's going to feel like there. This team that was so bad for so many years, but over the last half a decade have risen to a dynasty. And their last game in Oracle is going to be tonight. It's palpable. You're going to feel it. It's going to be amazing. But the problem, when you think about the dynasty, this particular dynasty, is that when I look at the matchup, I feel like Toronto is actually the better team. They have the best player on the court, at least for a lot of these games, and Kawhi Leonard. Their team feels constructed a little bit better right now simply because of the injuries that have plagued the Golden State Warriors. And if it hadn't been for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson in Game 5 going absolutely bonkers, obviously they got a lift from KD playing for a little bit, 12 minutes, and knocking down those three three-pointers and having 11 points before he ultimately tore his Achilles. Steph and Klay have been amazing. 12 three-pointers they had in Game 5. And as a team, they shot 20. I didn't see that. I didn't realize this. So I saw the stat this morning. They had, and I watched the game and I was paying attention to the game, and it did feel like they were taking a ton of three pointers. But the Golden State Warriors in Game 5 in Toronto had more 3-point field goals made than they did 2-point field goals made, 20-18, which is rare. You just don't see that. I think the reason that they won the game is because a normally reliable 3-point shooting team in Toronto was abysmal. They shot just over 20% from 3-point range. And so a 1-point game was won by Steph and Klay because of Steph and Klay and Boogie and, you know, some big plays by Quinn Cook and Draymond Green, but also because the Toronto Raptors played down to their regular level. The intangibles in this game, I think, favor the Toronto Raptors right now. They feel like they're the stronger team. Nick Nurse has been a fantastic coach, save for the timeout, which was unexplainable in a lot of ways. And it feels like it's their time. They feel like a team of destiny, which is interesting when I compare it to the team of dynasty that we've been building up for so many years now. So let's back up for a second. You go back to the beginning of this Golden State Warriors team as it's currently constructed. They were drafted with Steph and Klay and Draymond. In some ways, they felt like they were the forgotten kids, the ones who, you know, were good but just not quite good enough. Mark Jackson comes in as their coach. He teaches them this attitude and this way of playing that I think is still with them today. Obviously, Mark Jackson got fired, and Steve Kerr comes in, and those little tweaks made them into a champion immediately. They won that championship back in 2015, and they were a likable team, right? You looked at it. Steph is, you know, he feels like he's an anybody basketball player. He just can knock down three-pointers, and subsequently he's changed the way that we view the three-point shot in the NBA. You pair him with the other Splash brother and Klay Thompson, and it's like, man, what kind of NBA are we watching? Right? Who, forget inside out. It's all outside in right now, and let's get some space in and get some other spot-up guys and make basketball look very different than it used to be. And you love this team. You really did. And then all of a sudden, they lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers in 2016, and then KD comes. And KD, as great as he made this team, and he did make them great, probably one of the best teams that we've ever seen. And it's hard to quantify that, but you look at this Warriors team that over the last couple of years was a foregone conclusion to win the NBA title. Kevin Durant winning finals MVP 2 years in a row, almost unbeatable throughout the year. Even, you know, the games that they would lose in the regular season, we would excuse it away as they're just bored. They don't care about the regular season. They want to win the title. And that was probably true. But they went from being this very likable team to being a team that you didn't like anymore. And it's interesting because Kevin, as great as he is, and it's no fault to Kevin Durant because he's amazing. I think he did the right thing by leaving OKC and having to play with Russell Westbrook in that frenetic system that was harder than it should have been. and ultimately felt like they never were going to get anywhere, even though they got very close a couple of times, he made them a villain. He made the Golden State Warriors a villain. They were this likable, underdog-ish team, even though they were champions, and now they were the villain because they ultimately became the best team in basketball and seemingly unbeatable. And when you push this all and put it all in context of what's happening, because if KD's playing, I honestly think the Raptors don't have a chance in this series. But the perfect confluence of events happens, the perfect storm of events. You go back to Masai Ujiri trading for Kawhi Leonard, who was disgruntled. We had our question marks about him because he didn't play all of last season for the San Antonio Spurs. He gets Danny Green in that trade as well. He's developed these couple of young players, including Fred VanVleet, who leads one of the best benches in basketball, and Pascal Siakam, who is a transition maven and a long, aggressive energy guy and great defender and scorer when he's uncontested. And all of a sudden, this Toronto Raptors team finds itself on the verge of winning a championship because KD gets hurt. And so when you think about all of these forces, like the journey that the Golden State Warriors took and the addition of KD, which changed the national narrative about the team from a likable team to you're too good, right? You're too good, so you're the villainous team, to now the Toronto Raptors having the edge, probably the better collection of players right now, at least the healthier collection of players. It makes you wonder, or makes you ask, it makes me ask the question, do you want to see the dynasty end? Because now you kind of want to root for Steph and Clay. It feels like the old Golden State Warriors. It's no fault to Kevin Durant, but it is what it is. He's hurt. And Steph and Clay, despite the fact that they have three championships, three rings, and Steph has an MVP, they're the underdog. Are you rooting for him? Are you rooting for him in this game six that feels like a game seven, the last game in Oracle? Or are you saying it's time? It's time for the Toronto Raptors to knock the champions off their perch and just let what happens happens, whether KD or whether Kawhi stays or he leaves, or KD stays or KD leaves. Do you want to see the champion, this dynastic team that the Golden State Warriors have become, do you want to see it over? I think I want to see it over. I want to see Toronto rise to the top and then let the chaos that's going to ensue in free agency let itself play itself out. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227. We'll take your calls on this. Are you for the continuation of this dynasty? Because if Steph and Clay find a way to win game six without Kevin Durant, he's not a crutch anymore. You can't say he's coming back. He's going to be our savior. He's done. He had surgery yesterday. Kevin Durant is done. Are you rooting for Steph and Clay? Continue this thing? Are you looking for Kawhi Leonard and Toronto Raptors to dethrone the champions? We'll take your calls under the side of this break. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki Barber here on CBS Sports Radio talking about the dynasty that is the Golden State Warriors. It seems about to end. The Warriors became this lovable champion. They were a dynasty, and then KD joined them, and they became the villain, almost unbeatable. In some ways, one of the best teams that we've seen in a really, really long time in basketball. And it's interesting when you think about dynasties. Sometimes they end and they're beloved. Sometimes they end and you're happy to see them end. What do you think? Chicago Bulls, when they won, you didn't want to see it end. You loved it. You loved that dynasty. Maybe it was a different era, less criticism back because the social media wasn't as profound as it is now, and individual opinions couldn't blow up and turn into memes. But Chicago Bears dynasties, you loved them. This one, some people, I think a lot of people might be looking for it to end. What do you think? 855-212-4227. Samter?
Here's a quick question. Do you think the Bulls dynasty was beloved because Jordan took those 2 years off and it was 3-3 as opposed to them winning like 3 and then they had like a chance for number 4?
That's a good question.
Or is it MJ himself was just a beloved guy?
Well, I think MJ was non-controversial. He was... He was the hero of all heroes. He did movies. He sold shoes. He was iconic, and in the true sense of the word, iconic, not the flippant way that we throw it out there right now. And so you loved him, even if you didn't. I think today's superstars, basketball players in particular, they think they're iconic, but it feels like a convoluted or contrived persona that they've made for themselves. And so if they're on your team, you love them. If they're not on your team, you're like, shut up, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. So it's interesting. The one guy, if he could create a dynasty, whether it's, you know, where he is now currently or somewhere else, that I think could fall into that Michael Jordan type stratosphere, interesting, would be Kawhi Leonard. Let's see what happens. Let's go to Jason, who's down in Louisiana. Jason, welcome to Tiki and Tierney. What do you think, man?
Yeah, how you guys doing?
I am well. How are you, Jason?
Well, yeah, you know, I'm more than rooting for either specific team. I'm rooting for your listeners. And, you know, a little over a week ago, you guys said on air that the money, the smart
it's
money, or the best return on your money.
That's a great point.
Yeah, was going to be, Toronto in six. And yeah, here we are. We're looking at anybody that went out and bet that because they heard that on the show. Is looking at a pretty nice windfall here.
Jason, you're right. Here, I'll reset it for people who, if you missed it, BT, who's like a sharp, I mean, the guys who set lines, he saw this line on Toronto in six, which was plus +1,000. So if you put $100, you win $1,000 on the Toronto Raptors to win it in six. So if you had $1,000 and you spend $1,000, you're going to make 10 grand if Toronto wins in six. Who do you want to see win, Jason?
Well, you know, I'm probably pulling for Toronto. You know, I just, Leonard, you know, I think it's such a great storyline.
Yeah,
I'm a Pels fan being from Louisiana, and, you know, I'd like to see Leonard stay in Toronto, and I think that chance happens better if he wins the championship. So maybe we can get more for AD when we have to deal him. But, you know, I went out, I wanted to bet the thing, and, you know, we took to the vote sports gambling here in Louisiana, and the state can't get out of its own way. They
bought
down the legislation. It got dropped. So
still
no legal gambling in Louisiana. Or I would have bet when I heard it to you guys.
Yeah, but, that's no good. You should have taken the trip up to New Jersey. Hey, real quick, are you just resigned to the fact, because you just said you're a Pelicans fan, are you resigned to the fact that AD is leaving? There's no hope. And I guess the second part, maybe more interesting part, is it like good riddance, or is it like we're going to miss him?
No, it really depends on what you get for him. If we do good on the trade and we win out the gate and we're making deep runs in the playoffs, you know, it's good riddance. But, you know, if we waste the opportunity, if we don't get a good deal on the trade, you know, it's going to be like, you know, we just let one of the best players in the league go. But,
yeah,
you know, I love what they're doing in the front office right now, and reside is in faith in them. And I think whatever they end up doing is going to be the right thing. And I'm so hopeful that either, if he said, I'd love for him to stay and continue to develop, I don't think that's the likelihood for it. And I don't wish him any ill will where he goes.
Yeah,
you know, but, you know, I just hope that we get the most for him that we can when we are forced to deal with the reality that he's gone.
Yeah, that's the Southern in you, Jason. That's you being a good guy because you're from the South. Seeing good luck to you, AD. But some people will say, bless his heart. You guys in the South know what I mean by that. Let's get KC, who's out in Los Angeles. KC, what do you think here? KC, you there? KC's not there. Let's go to Victor, who was down in Baltimore near my mother. She's in Laurel. What's happening, Victor? Welcome to Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki, how are you?
I am well. Yourself?
Look, I'm good. First of all, I'm a Wizards fan. I don't have a pony in this race. However, I disagree with you that they're the most pleasing team to watch in the NBA. I think prior to Durant getting there, maybe. But Durant, I wouldn't call him a ball stopper, but he upset the flow of that team.
But, Victor, that's what I said. That's what I said. That's what I said. Before KD, the Golden State Warriors were likable, right? You really liked them. And then KD came. Maybe you misunderstood what I was saying. They kind of became a villain in some regards. And so now that he's out and they're this villainous team, but without KD, are you rooting for them now because they're back like they used to be, if you know what I mean?
No. After watching Golden State and watching Toronto, you almost have to root for Toronto. Huh. And I'm a fan of Clay and Draymond. No, not Draymond so much.
Yeah.
Steph and Clay, but you almost have to want, after what Kawhi's gone through and everything, and you almost have to want to see them win.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people would agree with you. We'll do a poll on this. Sam will put it up there. With the Game 6 playing like a Game 7, Oracle's closing. Feels like the Golden State Warriors are against the ropes a little bit against Toronto, who crazy as it sounds, without KD on the Warriors, they're the better team. They're playing better, and when they're on, they're better. Who do you want to see win? You want to see the Golden State Warriors continue this dynasty, or the Toronto Raptors derail it and start their own? Or act not. They, I don't think they'll have a dynasty unless Kawhi decides to stay. But do you want to see the Toronto Raptors get one and get one for the first time up in Canada? There was a little, I don't know, action that happened yesterday with the Boston Celtics, now former guard, Kyrie Irving, because it looks like he's going to opt out of his last year with the Boston Celtics and become a free agent. He fired his agent, and it looks like, even though we're not quite 100% sure yet, that he's going to hire Roc Nation as his representation. Sam, see if you can find who the agent is that is Roc Nation. Now, a lot of people are assuming that this Roc Nation signing from Kyrie is a direct tie to Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is obviously a Roc Nation client, but it's a little bit more nuanced than that. Kevin Durant is repped exclusively and by Rich Kleiman, a BU grad, by the way, Samter. Samter also went to BU. Rich Kleiman's only client is Kevin Durant. They have, and not just, it's not just an agent client slash player relationship. They're business partners in a sense. They started the Durant Company together. They started 35 Media together. Rich Kleiman only reps KD, even though they're under the Roc Nation umbrella, which is very similar to the situation we see on the other coast. I guess it's the same coast because KD is out there right now, but Rich Kleiman is in New York, and that's why a lot of people are speculating that KD and Kyrie are going to come to New York because of this Rich Kleiman relationship. It's the same type of situation that LeBron James has with Clutch Sports Management. Clutch Sports Management, as we all know, is Rich Paul, who met LeBron back in 2012 or 2013 or something like that, and he started his own business out of CAA. He left CAA. LeBron went and joined him, and just like with KD's relationship with Rich Kleiman, even though it's a little bit different, LeBron has a deeper relationship with Clutch. He kind of like started it. And has so many other projects. It's created this interesting dynamic with agent-player relationships and what agents will do for their clients, because it's not just a, I'm going to get you to a team, and hopefully that team you go to that I'm negotiating with will pay you whatever the max is and, you know, build a team around you. It's, you have to look at this now more like the player, Kevin Durant or Kyrie or LeBron or Anthony Davis, who's also with Clutch, is more of a mini business in and of itself. And the Clutch management of the worlds, the Roc Nations of the worlds, are their business partners. And sometimes, you know, it's changing the way that we have to look at agents in this ecosphere, because agents aren't just the guy to get the contract done anymore. The agent now has to make strategic decisions about where a guy goes, and not just where he's playing, but what those cities mean for these other business opportunities that they have. And so the thing I take away from the Kyrie Irving signing with Roc Nation is that Kyrie is looking to elevate who he is, not just him as a player. That has to stand on its own. Kyrie's got to be a baller. He's got to do whatever he's got to do. He's going to go wherever he's going to go. But Kyrie, by hiring Roc Nation, kind of like KD, who's also with Roc Nation, and Rich Kleiman, and LeBron and AD, who are with Clutch, it's more about the brand and the ability the business plan your future as opposed to just sign with a team. This is interesting. It's something to keep an eye on. I don't think it necessarily means that Kyrie and KD, because they're both under the Rock Nation umbrella, are going to play together, like a lot of people are assuming, because LeBron and AD are both under the Clutch umbrella, that they're going to play together. I don't think that necessarily is the same, but it could be. So keep an eye out for this. This is, it's an interesting development in the Kyrie Irving free agent drama that's playing out right now. So the New England Patriots are pissed, like really pissed at the Texans, so much so that they fired, or that they filed a grievance with the National Football League. But do they have a legit gripe? Inbounds and Out of Bounds is next. But first, let's get an update from Jay Berman. Welcome back to Tiki and Tierney here on CBS Sports Radio. Samter, we put a poll up. Tell us what the results are so far. We are about 4.5 hours away from the start of Game 6. Of the NBA Finals, Toronto Raptors visiting the Golden State Warriors, last game at Oracle. What are people saying?
Well, so I just simply asked, now that KD is out and the villain is gone from the series, are you rooting for Steph, Clay, and Kate, and Draymond to continue their dynasty, or for the Raptors to knock them off their perch? 31% want to see the dynasty continue. 69% are haters.
I'm telling you. They're not haters.
I want to see the end.
That's the reality, man. That's the reality.
They want to build you up and then tear you down.
They don't want to build you up and tear you down. If the Golden State Warriors had stayed pure, it would be a different story. Seriously, every person I talk to about this, they're like, yeah, I like them and it's cool, but when they signed KD, it just changed it a little bit. D-Cell, what do you think?
You say that they would like him if they stayed pure. Do you think if they stayed pure, put that in quotes, that they would either just hate Steph or Clay right now?
No, because they're not hateable, right? Clay is quiet. Here's my job. I'm going to defend the hell out of whoever you put me on, and I'm going to knock down 65.8% effective field goal percentage in this finals, by the way. That's what he's doing. He's unbelievable. And Steph is Steph, man. He's just like your best friend around the corner. But he's a great three-point shooter. I think they would still be likable, even if they had won a three without Kevin Durant.
Draymond's not likable,
but you need a Draymond.
Right.
You need that guy.
Well, I mean, the Warriors need them to win, but
every team, every great team, right. I don't care who you are, has that one guy who's the ass, right?
Yeah. The Spurs had Bruce Bowen. The exactly. The Bulls had Dennis Rodman and Horace Grant.
Yep, go back to the Pistons too. I mean,
everybody was
that way. But you know what I mean? It's how it was. Right? When Dennis Rodman went to the Bulls, like, you love the Bulls. You actually kind of love the ass that Dennis Rodman became, right? In a sense. So you need that guy. KD just made him too good. Maybe that's what it was. So they became villainous in a sense. 69% want to see the Toronto Raptors claim the NBA title. It may happen tonight. And if you took BT's advice and placed a bet at plus 1,000, he's probably going to do pretty well for himself. Sam, are you ready for Inbounds and Out of Bounds?
Certainly am.
Let's hit it.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right, what's wrong, and who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and Out of Bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Tiki and Tierney's Inbounds and Out of Bounds is brought to you by Fidelity Investments. Fees matter. At Fidelity, you'll know what you're paying and why. Visit fidelity.com/value to invest with zero trade-offs. Fidelity Brokerage Services, NYSESIPC. All right, Samter, let's go.
Earlier this week, the Houston Texans surprisingly fired their general manager, Brian Gaine, leaving many scratching their heads about the timing. Now, however, we may have an answer. New Texans VP of Team Development, Jack Easterby, who spent his previous 6 seasons with the Pats, attended the Patriots ring ceremony last week and was seen speaking with coveted Pats exec Nick Caserio. The next day, the Texans fired Gaine, and reports surfaced that Caserio was their top target. In light of this information, the Patriots have filed tampering charges against the Texans for their contact with Caserio. Inbounds, Out of Bounds. Two friends from different organizations discussing potential job opportunities at a party is tampering and should still be punished.
Out of bounds. I mean, how do they know what they were talking about? He could have been over there being, hey, Nick, yo, look, we want to give you this job. We can get rid of Brian Gaines. He's only been there for a year, right? If you give me the word, I can make it happen. Or they could have been saying, man, this punch sucks. What'd they put in here? Spanish fly? It's terrible, right? Of course it's not tampering. But the New England Patriots, being the New England Patriots, will make a mountain out of a molehill. Maybe because when the New England Patriots do anything, the NFL and everybody else makes a mountain out of their molehill. So I get it. I don't think it's tampering. And if Nick Caserio has an opportunity to go take a progressive job and a forward-stepping job, he absolutely should do that. The New England Patriots shouldn't hold him back. I think the Pats feel like there's a little bit of an exodus happening. They lost their defensive coordinator 2 years ago. They lost their kind of de facto defensive coordinator again last year. Both become head coaches in the National Football League. So they're just maybe trying to hold on to what made it work for them. It's not going to last forever.
Now, real quick, a new report is surfacing also that could be part of the reason that game was left out or kicked out. Mm-hmm. A former Texan security coordinator was fired, and he filed a federal complaint with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission alleging that Gain and the Texans targeted him for being African-American. And he has other examples. That when he started, there were 8 or 9 different executives of color, and they are all now gone. And so, again, we don't know if this is true or not, but maybe the Texans learned about the lawsuit and said, you know what, too much fire, too much heat around Gain, let's just get rid of him.
Yeah, I think that's unfair. That's casting an aspersion that I don't think is, it's not fair for me to even consider that.
Are you in or are you out?
The Brooklyn Nets and New York Knicks have cleared up cap space and are considered among the top players in this summer's free agent market. Many have linked Kyrie and AD to Brooklyn, while KD is rumored to prefer the Knicks. Yet a new report may indicate another potential target for the tri-state teams. Both the Nets and Knicks are working out little-known draft prospect Terry Harris. Who is he? He is the younger brother of soon-to-be free agent Tobias Harris.
Nice.
Terry averaged just Terry averaged just 8.1 points a game as a senior for North Carolina A&T. So it's not like he's a young buck or anything.
HBC.
Yeah. And has a career college average of just 5.3 points a game playing for 3 different small schools. Who clearly not a star collegiate athlete. Inbounds, out of bounds. Drafting or signing Terry Harris to lure Tobias to your team would be...
Inbounds, man. I think that's awesome. How do you know Terry Harris isn't going to turn into a mini Tobias Harris? How do you know he's not going to just turn into this sharpshooter, this aggressive player? Especially when he's playing with his brother. His brother's, like, coaching him up and inspiring him. We all know that there are odd things that happen in the recruitment of players. Whether it's, hey, your dad want to come be the coach at, you know, this college, so you'll come to this college? We see it all the time on the lower levels. Why not make it happen in the NBA? And if it gets you Tobias Harris to play for less than the max, because think about this. You talk about these teams, the Nets and the Knicks. They have max spots open, not max slots open. Do you think that Tobias Harris is going to ask for anything less than that? Especially with the way that he contributed to the Philadelphia 76ers last year, I would say not. So you got to somehow incentivize him to take a little bit less than that monster contract. And if it, signing his little younger brother gets it done, hey, it's all fair and war, love and peace and war and games or whatever the heck it is.
Are you in or are you out?
All's fair and love, war, and free agency?
Yes, exactly.
There you go. The bad blood between the Cubs and Rockies continues to boil and came to a head last night. The Cubs entered the game angry that the Rockies had beaned Chris Bryant.
All right, say this one slow because it's convoluted.
Yes.
But go ahead.
They had beaned Chris Bryant 3 times in the last 5 games. So then, entering last night, Cubs starter Cole Hamels drilled Rockies superstar Nolan Arenado, forcing the perennial MVP candidate to leave the game. Arenado's gone. Shortly thereafter, the Rockies retaliated, hitting Hamels in the ankle in the 7th, then hitting Anthony Rizzo again an inning later, which then led the Cubs to nail Tony Walters in the 9th, meaning 4 hitters. Yes, that's 4. If you're Steph Curry, if you're Alex Morgan, that's 1, 2, 3, 4 hit batmen in the game. After the game, Hamels and Joe Maddon both denied anything was intentional, while Arenado claimed, "We're not asking some second appearance young kid to go throw at Rizzo," talking about the pitcher Philip Deal, who's a rookie in just his second appearance, who's the one who hit Rizzo in the eighth inning.
In the ankle.
So, Hamels got hit in the ankle. Rizzo got hit in the back.
Okay.
So, basically, all three are denying any intention for these hit batsmen.
Yeah, right.
Which is obviously BS. So, inbounds, out of bounds. You would respect the players more if they actually admitted to throwing at opposing hitters intentionally rather than giving us all a lot of BS.
Absolutely inbounds. But the problem is you can't do that because if you do that, you're gonna get fined. Look, you're going to maybe get suspended if you admit to intentionally throwing at a batter. But the one that hit Chris Bryant, if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network, it was so slow. I mean, it's you're getting hit with a baseball from a professional pitcher, so it is what it is. But it's not like he went head hunting or went up around his shoulder. It was, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball. I wish we could get to a point where we weren't soft anymore like this and could just say, look, I had a grievance, I hit him. It is what it is, right? You want to hit me for my $5,000, whatever. But don't suspend me, because suspending is, I don't know, it's a ticky-tack way, especially with a game like baseball that has been living by these rules since its inception. Let him play. Let him talk about it, too.
Are you in or are you out?
I was just telling D-Cell, the funniest part of this whole story is that the fourth pitcher who hit the batter, who hit him in the ninth inning for the Cubs, he's walked 22 batters in 25 innings. So even though the teams got warnings, he was not ejected from the game because the umpire thought that he was just so wild in his normal pitching habits that he couldn't tell whether or not it was intentional. That's a bad look for pitcher. You're too wild of a pitcher. I can't tell if you're throwing at a guy intentionally. Anyway, here's the last one. After the FBI probe into college basketball, CBS Sports has learned that the NCAA will hand down allegations for level one violations to at least six programs. That's the most serious level of infraction the NCAA has under their rules. We already know that Auburn, Arizona, Oklahoma State, and USC have had the biggest involvement, while schools like Kansas, Creighton, Louisville, NC State, and Oregon have also been connected and implemented to the probe as well. Inbounds, out of bounds, the NCAA should hand down overly harsh penalties to the offending programs to make examples of them.
This is a good question because it's an opportunity for the NCAA to show some power. But I'm going to say out of bounds, Samter, and here's my reasoning. If the NCAA should get overly harsh and say a program like Arizona, which we kind of feel like is involved with this deeply, and others, and say you have a four or three season postseason ban, and which then leads to the head coach getting fired and the programming falling apart. It's not the death penalty by any stretch of the imagination. It's not close to that, because we know that these things go on. You have to punish them accordingly. But if a lot of these programs, which are the upper echelon programs of college basketball, should just be omitted from the postseason and their program should fall into disrepair, it kind of becomes the NCAA cutting its nose off to spite its face. And so I think you have to be harsh, but not overly harsh. Look, they need to come to solution to this in one way or another. We know that the commission that's headed by Condoleezza Rice has started to make some suggestions into how to curb some of these under the table type things that are happening. I think it happens sooner rather than later, because these black eyes, like we're seeing with this FBI probe and ultimately the NCAA investigations that are necessarily followed behind them, you can't keep this in college basketball or college sports in general. So I'm not saying out of bounds, but they do need to come down with some penalties, just not enough to crush the programs so they're not viable anymore.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
There is a lot to look into at the U.S. Open that's being played in Pebble Beach right now. We'll talk to Jason Sobel, who is a senior golf writer for the Action Network, at the top of the hour, the other side of this break. Tiger Woods won this one at Pebble back in 2000, if we all remember, and he destroyed the field, won by 15 strokes. I think it was 21 under when he won his U.S. Open there. Obviously, we're looking at back-to-back with Brooks Koepka. He's going for not an unprecedented, because it had happened before, but an extraordinarily rare three-peat at the U.S. Opens. So many other storylines. It's obviously a beautiful course out there on the Pacific Ocean. Jason Sobel will join us on the other side. We'll talk a little bit of golf. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.